This morning, Mrs. Hunt, did you have a nice weekend?
Oh, well, fair to middling, Mrs. Bottomley. Very quiet, of course. My aunt did say on the Saturday he'd take me and Blossom down to the beach for the day yesterday. But he wasn't feeling too good yesterday morning, owing to his back, of course. So it ended up we never went.
Oh.
He was real cut up about not being well enough to take us. How real depressed he was. He said how he was looking forward to it, too. But he thought he'd better spend the day in bed just to be on the safe side.
Ah, yes, Mrs. Hunt.
He can't afford to take no risks with his back, because they might get some heavy carrying work, he says. He's gone this morning, of course.
Fancy, Mrs. Hunt. As a matter of fact, Ma Bottomy went this morning, too.
Where? To work?
Oh, no, not to work, Mrs. Hunt. He's off till next Monday.
Oh, well, where did he go?
Well, I've got the finest idea, Mrs. Hunt, but I got it in my mind somehow that he's gone away fishing for a few days.
For a few days?
Yes, Mrs. Hunt, that's what I've worked out. First of all, yesterday afternoon he got the chaff bag. He always takes his clothes and things in when he goes away anywhere. And he went into the bedroom and I think he was packing it.
Oh, and didn't you have a look?
Well, I did put me in round the corner just to see, thinking he wouldn't notice me. But he must have eyes at the back of his head, Mickey Thompson, or else he was waiting on me. Because one of his boots missed my face by no more than an inch.
Oh, well, it's more than I've done, having boots thrown at me.
Oh, well, I suppose he was entitled to say it, Mickey Thompson. After all, it was none of my business what he was doing, I suppose. I shouldn't have been so much of a sticky thing.
But, my good woman, you is his wife, ain't you?
I'd kill anyone who said I wasn't, Mrs. Hunt.
Yes, well, you has a right to know what he's doing and where he's going.
I don't see that, Mrs. Hunt. He made it very plain to me I ain't.
Oh, well, I don't know, I'm sure. And what makes you think he's gone away for a few days?
Well, he put his clothes in and his old boots and the old army hat he always wears for fishing. I had a look after he went and they was gone.
Well, and what makes you think he's gone fishing?
Because he was down in the woodshed yesterday afternoon, too, where he keeps his fishing lines and things, in that big box, you know.
Oh, well, did you look to see if his fishing lines was gone?
Not me, Mrs. Hobbs. You remember the box. He keeps a rat trap set on the top for to keep me away. Mind you, I don't know. He might have gone for the day or he might have gone for a week.
Ah, well, you've got a right to know that, my love. What about his tea?
I'll have that ready every night just in case, that's all.
Ah, well, I wouldn't. I just let him walk in one night when he does come home and there wouldn't be no tea for him. And that'd be a lesson to him.
Yes, and if there wasn't no tea ready for him, Mrs. Hunt, he'd break every bone in my body and that'd be a lesson for me. I've had them lessons before.
But look, Mrs. Butterley, it stands to reason. For all you know, he might have packed up and left for good. He mightn't come back for years and years.
I wouldn't be surprised, Mrs. Hunt.
Well, you couldn't go on having his tea ready for night after night and year after year, could you?
Yes, Mrs. Hunt.
Well, there you are.
No matter how long my Bottomley was away, Mrs. Hunt, just tea would be on that table at the right time every night. I've learned to do that, and I may say I've learned the hard way.
Well, all I can say is, it's almost discreditable that there's a woman like you in the world, Mrs. Butterley. I'll bet you are the only one of your kind in the world.
I might be, Mrs. Hobbs, but that's easy accounted for.
Why?
Well, I think my Bottomy must be the only one of his kind in the world. Oh, there goes Mrs. Jeffries over to Mrs. Jeffries.
Yes, so I see, sir. Yeah, well, what did you pull that face at her for?
I never pulled a face at her, Mrs. Hobbs. I was smiling at her. We're all friends now, ain't we? Or that's how it seemed over Christmas. Mind you, I never thought we'd be ever friends with them two. Not with Mrs. Jeffrey and Mrs. Jeffrey got there.
And Mrs. Butterby's grinning all over her face at me when I come across the road, Mrs. Jeffrey. How long is this going on?
How long is what going on, Mrs. Jeffries?
Be nice to them and treat them like our equals. Do you know what, Mrs. Jeffries?
What?
We had the greatest chance of our life, we did, to make things up for Mrs. Hobbs. Look what we heard about her family from her Hobbs' own lips. The criminal stock she comes from.
Mrs. Jeffries.
What?
I say again what I have said before. You are a fool.
Ah, well, that's all right, Mrs. Jeffries. You're calling me a fool likely.
Because you asked for it. Mr. Bundle came out in defense of Mrs. Obbs, and what could I do but agree with him? I went to the trouble of buying her slippers for a Christmas box.
Yes, I know you did.
And Mr. Bundle thought that was really wonderful of me.
Oh, I know, Mrs. Jopley. Well, I suppose a few days now till 1948 and leap year. And if you're going to propose to him, you've got to make him think you're wonderful, no matter how hard it is for you.
That shows a glimmering of sense at last, Mrs. Jeffries. Personally speaking, I could never be friends with Mrs. Arms. And when I'm married to Mr. Bundle...
Yes, you won't have to worry then, Mrs. Jeffries. Once you're married to him, you'll be able to be yourself. Hi. Did you give Mr. Bundle the suspenders to keep his socks up you bought for him for Christmas?
Naturally, I gave them to him. He was visibly affected by the gift.
Has he worn them yet?
Then how would I know that?
Oh, I just thought you might, Mrs. Jopley.
There is a possibility that he will not wear them at all. That he will treasure them, being a gift from me.
Ah, just put them away and keep them. And take them out and look at them every now and then, you mean?
Yes. I remember my poor dear husband. I bought him a box of cigarettes once. I didn't allow him to smoke in the house, but I did allow him one cigarette of an evening, provided he had it outside.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Jopley. And you bought him a box for Christmas once, did you?
Yes. And though he loved his cigarettes, he never smoked one out of the box. He only smoked the one, and the rest he was keeping and treasuring, because they were a gift from me.
Oh, that's nice, ain't it? Oh, well, ain't got long to go now to Mrs. Kittleleafia, Mrs. Jopley, and then it mightn't be long before Mr. Bundle is your poor dear husband.
I dare say you mean well, Mrs. Jeffries, so I shall say nothing. Did you say Mrs. Obbs and Mrs. Bottomley were out when you came over?
Yes, stuck outside Mrs. Obbs' place, Mrs. Jopley. Talk, talk, talk. I've never seen the likes of them two. I don't see what they've got to talk about, Mrs. Obbs and Mrs. Bottomley. Neither of them don't know nothing anyhow.
Oh, well,
it's
kind of about it, Mrs. Obbs, what my Bottomley does either.
Yes, but who does he think he is to do it? That's what I say. Napoleon? Does he think he's Napoleon?
Oh, I don't know, Mrs. Sharp. Who's Napoleon?
Well, my heavens, goodness, gracious me, oh dear, did you say, who is Napoleon?
Yes, Mrs. Sharp.
You never heard of Napoleon? You never heard that name?
Well, I might have, Mrs. Sharp. Does sound familiar now you mention it. Is it a dog's name?
Oh dear, a dog's name. That shows what sort of education you get at these public schools. Napoleon, my good woman, was the King of France.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Dobbs. A Frenchman?
No, not a Frenchman.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Dobbs. I thought you said he was King of France.
What I did say.
But he must have been a Frenchman.
Well, he wasn't, see. Oh, good heavens above, Mrs. Butterley. Even my abs, and he don't take no interest in these things being a man, but even he can tell you what nationality Napoleon was.
Could he, Mrs. Abs? Well, what would he say if he did kill me?
Of course he can.
Well, I'll give it he can, but what nationality was this Napoleon?
Of course he can.
I know. You said of course he can. But he ain't here, so you tell me in his absence.
In whose absence?
Your absence. I gives in that he could tell me.
Well, I'm telling you now. Of course he can.
I'll keep saying I know he can. But what nationality was Napoleon?
Oh, dear, oh dear. Talk about the ignorance of the working classes. I ain't saying, of course, my Obbs can.
Excuse me, Mrs. Obbs, that's exactly what you did say. I said, can your Obbs tell me, and you said he can.
Oh, goodness gracious me. You're enough to drive the patience of the saint through the eye of a camel, Mrs. Butterley. Now let me put it this way. Napoleon come from a little island. Of course he can.
Of course he can't walk.
Of course he can't nothing. That was the name of the island, Corsica. That was the name of the island he come from, Corsica.
That was the name of the island?
Yes.
Well, what's its name now?
Well, it's still Corsica.
Then why'd you say it was, then, if it is still?
Because we... Oh, well, you don't even believe there is an island called Corsica, do you?
Well, I must say I've never seen it, Missy Tuck.
Well, I've never seen it neither, if it comes to that.
Then how do you not see?
Because I've heard about it. Mm.
Course, I don't believe everything I hear about Mrs. Dobbs. I take everything with a grain of salt myself, like some of them animals that you see at the zoo, like the rhinoceros.
Well, what about the rhinoceros?
Well, I don't believe there's any such animal.
But you've seen it, my good woman, at the zoo.
Yes, I know, Mrs. Dobbs.
And yet you say there ain't no such animal.
Well, I don't believe there is, Mrs. Dobbs.
Well, my heavens, I don't know, aren't you? I give you up. The way what you look at things, Mrs. Butterley, is a way beyond my known comprehension.
Well, I only seen it at the zoo, though.
Well, the fact remains you've seen it, didn't you?
At the zoo, yes. And they're liable to have anything there.
Ah, pooh. I wouldn't be bother talking to you. All women's the same, anyhow. Give me the company of men. You does get a bit of intelligence there. I'd rather talk to my husband if he does.
There won't be nothing doing this week.
Oh, well, you never know, Alfie. Other carriers might be on holidays, you see, and we might fluke a bit of their work.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't like to bank on it. I ain't going crook, mind you, about being here. It's 100 times better than being home all day with Liz. Mag, mag, mag. Mommy, son, I've had it over the weekend, I tell you.
Oh, they do talk a lot, Alfie. Women do.
Yeah, the trouble is they never know when to stop. They say something about this and that, and you say okay, and you got to read your paper, and they start on it again. Blah, blah, blah. Meg, 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 meg. Mommy, it's the one of a man's nerves ain't tore to shreds. You know what? If a man had a bit of dough, he could go away for holiday for a week. Away from it, if he had enough.
Well, Alfie, that brings me to something I want to say. It's serious. But I've been thinking things over, and, well, anyhow, I got a proposition to put to you.
Yeah? What?